word of the Lord is recorded in the 42nd chapter of Job, verses 1 through 6. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me.' My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." This is the word of God. Let us bow. Lord God, as we enter this Lenten season on Ash Wednesday, we remember the sacrifice of our Savior. Yes. We lift him up in glory, for it is through his life, death, and resurrection that we have hope. In Christ, with Christ, through Christ, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit now and forevermore. Amen. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, which is a time of reflection, confession, and repentance. My church home in Mississippi didn't observe Ash Wednesday or Lent in particular. One thing I did know is that we're called to give up something for the Lenten season. Something we enjoy or something that brings us pleasure. And this is for the purpose of sacrifice that leads to self-discipline. As a young person, I sought to make Lent that leads to self-discipline easy on myself by giving up something like chocolate, which I don't like, or giving up doing so-called fun things with my friends, which I like even less. It's a chore to pretend that I'm having a good time with certain people when mostly I'm bored to tears. As I aged, it occurred to me that it would be a huge reveal if we decided what each other should give up for Lent. For instance, we could decide that Miss So-and-so should give up wearing those wild colored clothes that make her stand out in a crowd for all the wrong reasons. In our Christian maturity, we contemplate the true meaning of self-discipline when we meditate on the sacrifice Jesus made. At the beginning of the Lenten season, we reflect on Christ's time in the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. Jesus fasted. He wanted nothing to come between his communion with God and his purpose on earth. Especially not his human needs. It was critical that he be strengthened against Satan's temptations. Lent asks believers to be intentional about focusing on Christ's life, ministry, and sacrifice, and resurrection. In order to live in the power of Spirit, we need to be delivered from those things that seek to destroy us. And for me, one of the most impactful of all Lenten scriptures is Luke 9:51 regarding Palm Sunday. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Yeah. It was a glorious time for Jesus' disciples. The long-awaited Messiah had come. What a day this was. They swelled with pride. They argued about the seating arrangement in heaven. How would Jesus show himself as the great deliverer of the Jews? Would he call down fire from heaven to consume the enemies of God? Jerusalem and glory were just around the corner. But when the days drew near for him to be received up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face toward Jerusalem meant something different from Jesus than what it did for the disciples. The disciples had visions of the greatness that danced in their heads. They did not understand Jesus' true destiny. Jesus set his face to die on the cross. And if you have not yet had the opportunity to die a cruel death on a cross for people who know and love you, for people who reject you, for people who've never made your acquaintance, you may want to reflect deeply what Jesus did to secure our salvation, because it cannot be duplicated. Why do we miss the mark when it comes to reflection, confession, and repentance during the season of Lent? It may be because we pray and praise God, but with insufficient communication skills. I can't speak for everyone, but I was taught never to question God. So when I was bothered by something I didn't understand, I turned to other sources. I read books. I talked to my parents or other adults that I felt that I could trust. I asked my pastor to help me get my mind on the right track. And if I didn't feel comfortable speaking with any of these persons, I turned to my friends, who often didn't have any more to offer me than their opinion. And I usually just settled on the opinion that made me feel better. Yeah. My brother once told me, never take no from someone who can't give you a yes. Mm. We've all experienced this at one time or another. You call custom service to get some issue resolved. You state your problem and they state the store policy. Mm. You try to explain the special circumstances regarding your concern, and they give you the same statement of store policy. Many times, the customer service representative doesn't even understand what you're needing to have happen. And so they say, let me speak with my supervisor. Or you finally get so frustrated with the interaction that you request to speak with the supervisor. Customer service representatives interact with you as they were trained to do. They have no authority beyond what they are taught. They're not problem solvers or decision makers. It is their job to filter calls and help with usual requests. They supply information they hope will satisfy the customer. It's their job, and many of them do it well. But as we look at the fact that we sometimes need further assistance, the bottom line is they can't give you a yes. It takes someone higher in the chain of command to help you with your problem. And here's what I learned from Job. Job wasn't afraid to question God. Job believed that all blessings and curses were initiated by God, and Job wasn't willing to entrust his questions to anyone besides the source of all answers. Some of us go from person to person and from resource to resource, searching for answers. And when we continue in our frustration with no satisfactory resolution, we finally break down and give God a whack at it. We explain to God that we've done all we know how to do to solve that problem on our own. In Job's case, he went straight to the source. He felt pressure to demand justice from a God he knew to be just. He didn't get sidetracked by a frustrated wife. He didn't get caught up in the dialogue with his friends. He earnestly pleaded his case, but in vain. God just didn't seem interested. I think about that spiritual that encourages us to watch, fight, and pray. And let's reflect on the order of those encouragements. We all can agree that prayer comes first. The problem is that we move so swiftly on to watching and fighting. Now, what happens when we don't know what we're watching and fighting for? That's right. We pray to God in our troubles. However, this is the problem. we don't spend enough time in prayer. What we don't always do is linger with God. Yes. With God, it's personal. When we run out of options, God is just starting to dispense miracles. When we've tried everything we can do, God sends some answer from way out in left fields if it sets our heart on fire. See, God is aware of the nature of my concern and the consequences of my decisions. So when I linger with God and allow God to direct the outcome, God charts my course. Yes. Far too often we watch and fight for what we want the outcome to be. We pray for our desires, but we tack this on to the end of our prayers. But thy will be done. The problem is we don't always accept God's will because it makes us unhappy. Yes. We cry and we ask God, why? And God's answer is, because you said you want my will to come. Well, what if we had all the answers and the information that told us why? What would we do with that information? How would that information influence things unto the far corners of the earth? Can we even think that wide or deep? You see, our view is limited. But more than that, we have no divine vocabulary. And that was a problem with Job. He wasn't being insubordinate with God. He just didn't have the vocabulary for the interaction. See, God knows the vocabulary of creation. The vocabulary of all that is and will be. God knows the vocabulary of nature. That's why the winds and waves obey. Jesus knows the vocabulary of relationships. Love God and love one another. Jesus makes us aware that God judges how we treat the least among us. The Holy Spirit knows the vocabulary of discernment. When in doubt, we turn to the Holy Spirit for counsel, and the Holy Spirit guides us to remembrance and discretion. Right. Some people want to make additions to the Trinity. For instance, they feel they need to add the Bible as the inerrant word of God. If it's not in the Bible, then God didn't say it. Well, I don't know the original languages of Hebrew and Greek, not well enough to understand what's written. I only read the translations. But I, for one, don't believe that God's inspiration is recorded in the Bible, and that's all there is of God's knowledge and wisdom.
That's right.
That's why we need to linger with God in prayer. It's amazing what God will reveal to us in our patience and perseverance. Sometimes we overestimate what we do in our lives compared to what God does for us. The story comes to mind. The ant and the elephant came to a suspension bridge they needed to cross to get to the other side. The elephant told the ant to climb onto his head so they could both get across safely. Now, the ant was a bit skeptical, but he finally climbed up. And as they crossed over, the bridge began to sway and make sounds as if it would fall apart in any minute. But the ant closed his eyes and hung on. And when they made it safely to the other side, the ant told the elephant, "That was a wild ride, but man, didn't we shake that thing?" So God doesn't mind us coming along for the ride. God doesn't mind us taking some of the credit as long as we know where we'd be for real without the Lord on our side. God knows what rivers we need to cross in our lives. God knows the dangers. God knows the defeats and the victories. So we would do well to hold on tightly wherever God takes us. I'm glad to know that this world is in the hands and care of the Godhead. The three in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Omnipotent, omniscious, omnipresent, all-knowing, all the time, all the place. The world may seem to be spinning out of control, but in all existence, God has never done anything but keep creation upright. Humanity can get crazy. Natural disasters can twist and turn our lives upside down. But nothing escapes the grasp of the Creator. We're always asking answers to big questions. And God didn't rebuke Job for wanting answers. God didn't rebuke Job for insubordination. He did not even rebuke Job for arrogance. God rebuked Job for believing that he could ever fully understand the sovereign power and vocabulary of the Creator. And when Job finally got it, he replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak to you. I will question you, and you will answer me. My ears had heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." I don't know why Jesus came to die for us the way he did. It was planned long before creation. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. I don't know why evil gets to rule for a season. But this I know. What I give up for Lent is limited to what I understand and what I have experienced. In due time, God will increase my understanding and enlightenment. I can't expect to know all, and I can't expect that God wants me to know everything. I accept that I will never even know what it truly means to walk with God. But I'm okay with this fact that I will never know. But at this time, I'm blessed with enough that I can strive to live a godly life and show obedience to God. And that will keep me busy for a while at least. Although we may never have the vocabulary to speak of things of heaven, although we will never be able to speak the language of God's will and God's ways, be assured that all is well in heaven and in earth. This Lenten season, consider that we are covered by the sacrifice and the blood which the Father ordained, the Son accomplished, and the Holy Spirit sustains. The Godhead is complete. All is covered forevermore. I give praise and thanksgiving because when it comes to who's in charge, I'm so glad there's no vacancy.
What a mighty word. We thank our sister, Reverend Dr. Janice Bryant, for her powerful message. She said earlier that sometimes we think we might want to tell each other what we should give up for Lent. And she also mentioned that Job did not have the capacity to fully grasp the sovereignty of God, the will of God. And that was his issue. So as we prepare our hearts for prayer now, your prayers, my prayers, let us not think about what someone else needs. Let's offer ourselves to God and ask God to work in us. And let's not be so prescriptive about ourselves, because there are spaces in us that God sees, but we don't see. So we need God's grace, God's wisdom, God's sovereignty to guide us, to cleanse us during this time of Lent. Please stand and bow your heads and think about your journey. Think about your faith. Think about your relationship with God. Present yourself to God now in a moment of silent prayer as we ask God to guide us and be with us during this Lenten season. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Yes. on me. Make me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Eternal God, we ask your forgiveness. We ask for your grace and your mercy. Forgive us for being so presumptuous about you, your will, about others, about ourselves. Forgive us, O God, for thinking that you needed assistance, our assistance. You need our love and our obedience. And so during this time tonight and this time in Lent, we offer ourselves to your cleansing, to your shaping, to your renewal. Make us better. Make us stronger. Make us more willing to be your servants in the world. We thank you, O God, and we believe you for it. In the blessed name of our Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to prepare to do the blessing and imposition of the ashes. And I'm happy to say we had maybe about 12 cars to come by between 1 and 3 with from 1 to 2 to 3 persons in cars to receive ashes today. It was a wonderful blessing. I'm going to use wipes and a paper towel after each person, unless you're in the same household. And please distance yourselves as you come down the aisle. The ushers will lead you from the rear. And we want to begin with the blessing of these ashes. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who created us from the dust of the earth, we pray that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence. Bless these ashes so that we may remember that it is because of your grace, extended to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we are given eternal life. Amen.